The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your open and honest Bible questions. My name is Eric Stanton. I am here in the booth with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy, hitting the buttons and the sliders, making everything run smoothly. In just a minute here, I'll be introducing you to the rest of the Bible Information Brokers team. But before we do that, I want to give the number for everyone to call. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. And as I always say, if it makes it a little easier for you to remember, 888-995-KKLA. And now let me introduce Mr. Daryl Easy D. Fulton to you. Daryl, how are you this evening?
Eric, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm doing very well. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Very good. I can't hear myself. I guess I got to turn up a little bit. I got my ears down a little low. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Eric and Ozzy and the rest of the listening audience for tuning in. We're just going to ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. We want to do something that we normally do. We want to take as many questions as we can today. We have a special announcement a little bit later on. Just remind you of some other ministry things we're going to be doing. That's going to include overseas and some trip and some heavy prayer. We're going to ask that you continue to pray for us in. But let's start this broadcast off in a word of prayer. Father, just as I'm thinking about life itself, thinking about how we ail and physically, mentally, and even sometimes spiritually, Lord, with the various things that we're dealing with, the vicissitudes of life. But in those vicissitudes, even in the troubles that we may be having right now, we ask that you would accept this time that we've dedicated, consecrated, if you would, to you to do kingdom work. Questions and answers, Lord, to be able to talk about what you say about the various things that's going on in our life. We talk about biblical questions. We talk about questions in life and what does your word say about these various things, Lord. So we ask and pray that through the work of everyone participating, the listening audience, Father God, the staff, the team, everyone as far as I'm concerned is a part of the team, Lord. You even use negative forces, all your creation you use to get your glory, and you're going to get your glory. The Bible talks about that. We want to be an active and willing participant in glorifying you. And in that glorification, Lord, we just ask and pray that we might be edified simultaneously with your glorifying because of what we do here, this work that we're doing. And we just ask and pray that whatever we do, that you will receive it and that we will do it to honor you. Help us, Lord, even as we're doing that task. In Jesus' precious and matchless name, I pray. Amen. All right, Eric, I thank you very much, brother. You gave the phone number, and if you don't mind, I'll give it again to the people. They can start calling in right now live, telephonically, if you would. That's what telephones are for, telephonic calling. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552, or as Eric said, 888-995-KKLA, if it's easier for you to remember. All the other formats that we have the same address. The various platforms that we use to be able to receive answers, see questions by way of internet or cyberspace, if you would, is Bible Info Brokers. That's Bible Info Brokers for Facebook. Email at our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, and even Truth Social. So those five or so platforms that I gave you, Facebook, email at our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or even Truth Social, you can send a question in by just simply writing or typing in Bible Info Brokers, bring up the site, and then type in your question. You can also make comments there also. We'll deal with the questions because this is a question-answer format. But please take an opportunity, take a great opportunity to call in now or send us your questions by those various methods. And I do appreciate that. All right. Without further ado, before I bring Craig on, because I want to give him an opportunity to make sure he's finished with any breaking things he needs to do. Eric, you wanted to come back on and say something?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I just wanted to, in taking the phone calls, screening the calls, every once in a while I get someone that will say that they think this question might be dumb.
Oh, no. And please tell them.
I can tell you right now, there's no such thing as a dumb question here. And as a matter of fact, what our dear brother Brian used to always say is the only dumb questions are the ones that don't get asked. So I know that you both agree that, you know, and as far as I know, or what I believe is that there is, if you're asking a question, somebody else out there listening probably has the same or similar question, and you'd be helping them out by answering that question. So please, there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Exactly.
We welcome all.
Really appreciate that, Eric. And I would like to add something to that before I bring on our other teammate, that I just ask that you be sincere about your question, that you really want to get into it. You may have a partial answer. You may have a full answer, but you want to hear maybe what does the Bible say about it, because that's what we're all about, the Bible Information Brokers. So without further ado, I am going to bring our other teammate on telephonically and introduce the professor, as I will affectionately continue to call him, to the Lord Brings Me Home, PCH, Professor Craig Hawkins. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing well.
Good, good, good. PCH, I want to start off, as people may be calling in at 888-995-5552, with a question I have, and is dealing with the wiles of the devil. And I'm going somewhere with that because I'm looking at all the various things that's happening in our society, and the Bible talks about the wiles of the devil, or the enemy, or the father of lies. Can you kind of dissect the whole idea about we are not supposed to be ignorant, or we're not ignorant of the wile of the devils? Who are the we that the Bible was talking about as far as we're not ignorant of the wiles of the devil?
Well, we're not supposed to be. Yes, it's talking about believers, about Christians, about people who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in fact, the Bible, well, I need to say this, it does speak of the devil, who's a personal being, a sentient creature. And some people think it's just, of course, mythological. Of course, he loves that. Or it's just, what's the word I want? Metaphorical, if you will. But no, there's a literal devil who is the archenemy of God and of all things of God and of God's people, because he hates God, he hates us. And he has strategies that he uses against us individually and collectively. And we are not to be ignorant of that. We are aware of his stratagems, of the ways he comes to attack us, and we're to put on the full armor of God to protect ourselves. And that's in Ephesians 6, chapter 10 through 18, chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 in Ephesians. And we are to arm ourselves, as Paul says elsewhere, with weapons of warfare in the right hand and the left. And here I'm not talking about martial art weapons like ninjaks or swords or scythes or bows or whatever, but we're talking about the spiritual weapons, the spiritual armor. And one of the devil's main way, I mean, is divide and conquer. He divides and conquer. He gets Christians to fight among themselves. He gets them off on tangents. The majoring on minors and minoring on the majors are the major issue. And so, yeah, we Daryl, are to be aware of this and to appropriate what we know to be true. And even as James says, you submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. But that assumes that we're walking closely with God, that we're listening to God. And by that, I don't mean we're hearing audible voices, but I mean we are reading the Word of God, the Bible, Old and New Testament, and letting God speak to us through it. And that includes dealing with the reality of spiritual warfare. I would say, of course, the Bible is the definitive text on spiritual warfare, and the key chapters, such as Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, that we've mentioned a couple of times now. But if there's one book I could recommend, there's many good books on spiritual warfare, but the classic for me is C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters. Oh. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, and I think he does a masterful job of exposing some of the strategies of the evil one in a very practical sense. And I believe that, of course, a non-Christian, again, they think of the devil. What do they think of? They got, or, you know, it's inevitably the red union suit, pitchfork, horn tail, and horns on his head, and kind of a laughable comic character, a clown. And he's quite happy with that because they either think he doesn't exist or he's just a joke. And so we have people who think there is no spiritual realm, there are no beings, angels, evil or elect, demonic or the good angels or the devil. And even, but many Christians, they may say they believe that there's a devil and a demonic realm, but they act, they live as if there is none. They live as if they're materialists, as if there's only the material world, the physical world, and that's the end of reality, and there's never time to take or consider the spiritual dimension, the spiritual realm, and what goes on there. Not that we're to be obsessed with it or try to, you know, peek into it, but I'm going to argue in light of the Bible that you're naive, either as a non-Christian, either not believing in the devil or thinking it's just, you know, whatever, or if you're a Christian and you live as if it never really comes your way. Because notice it says we're to put on the full armor of God, going back to about verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. And it says, so when the day of evil comes, it doesn't say if the day of evil comes, when. So in other words, it's assumed, oh, your day of evil is coming. In other words, an onslaught, some type of attack, however that may manifest itself. And we could talk a lot about that as well. But so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to what? To stand, and having done everything, to stand. But one more time, it's not a question of if. It's not a what we call a hypothetical. It is, no, it's a reality. It's a question of not of if, but of when. And yet most Christians live like that day never comes. And, of course, I would argue their lives look like that day has come multiple times, and they've suffered severely from it because they were totally unequipped. Not because God hasn't given us the equipment, hasn't given us what we need to prevail, but because we don't appropriate it.
You know, PCH, other than taking my answer in regards to some of the wiles of the devil and especially how he deals with the believer, other than apathy, what do you find in Western society versus the society you're about to go into where there's the lack of freedoms for man, human beings in the various areas you're going to be traveling, and we're going to talk about that a little later on if you just want to use that as an introduction to where you're going to be doing, to make the distinction, other than apathy, and I'm basically using that apathy on the Western side because I've seen it whereby you get into more dramatic or lack of material gain, if you would, or lack of developed countries, as we call them now, and using third world, they say developing countries, as though we're so developed, which we are from that, economic standpoint. What do you see as the challenges, both here, other than using apathy, something else, in the other places around the world?
Well, I mean, I will try to expound, but actually, I'll stick with what I've said, is we don't believe it even exists. How can you put that a component that you don't even think exists? They'd say you're delusional. That's like beating the air or fighting a phantom or a figment of your imagination, some type of like paranoia or, you know, break from reality. But when I'm, for example, I'm going to Cambodia and perhaps Thailand as well, I'm leaving tomorrow night, so I'm scatterbrained more than normal tonight because I'm trying to get all these things done. I take some students over there with me. So, but then I'll come back for about 2.5 weeks, and then going to India and Nepal, and Well, they're certainly different places, but they have some things in common, and that they think you're nuts if you don't believe in the spirit world. I'll say this. I'll never forget up in Arunachal Pradesh, the very northeastern state in India, on the border with China. I was in a village, a remote village, and because of one of our friends we were working with, he had made friends. He had earned the respect of the village chief. And how it works there is you can't go into a village unless the chief allows you. He has that control. Mm. It's not like you can just pull through there and visit people. But because my friend had earned his respect, we actually not only got to go into the village, but we actually got to spend time with him and his brother, who was a co-leader of this group. And at one point, Daryl, we were talking and about a number of things. Now, this was through a translator because he did not speak English or very hardly any at all. And, of course, why should he? But at any rate, we were talking, and he kind of asked, well, what's the dominant religious view in America? He was interested in America. And he just kind of assumed, and he mentioned kind of some religious views and all that. And I said, well, actually, at least the up-and-coming one, and certainly one that has a lot of followers, is atheism. And when I, you know, of course, explained the term atheism, belief in no God, no spirits, none of that, he just found that, he scoffed at that. Mm. He just found that, like, basically, how stupid can you guys be? To him, and see, people see him as primitive and, you know, believing in spirits and that, but he saw it as the exact opposite. Like, you guys are incredibly naive. And so over there, a key question, and as I've gone to towns or villages, you know, particularly small, you know, communities, but it's true in Delhi and elsewhere, is you know, they take the spirit world, they assume people believe it, know about it, and they're constantly, you see statues and incense being burned to them and food placed on it as offerings to appease them. I mean, it's just it's a constant feature. Spiritism is alive and well. I traveled extensively throughout Asia, Southeast Asia. I've not been in a country yet where you don't find it just like all over the place. It's very common. And you could even say, well, some of it, they're just going through the rituals, whatever. Restaurant, houses, homes, outside, whatever, and coming into the lobby of a hotel or restaurant, you inevitably have a Buddha statue or some other figurine, some other spirits, and they're offering, again, incense and food to it. And that's just normal for them. The spirit realm is the belief in that. And so, in fact, I was going to say, in one village I went to, they're having some issues there. And this is a completely different village, another chief, and I was talking with him because of some other friends that had won influence in that area. And he was trying to deal with something, and he wanted to know, basically, why should I trust your God? He wanted to know who's got the power. Mm. To him, the question was, do they exist? He assumed that as, like, obvious. What he wanted to know is who's the most powerful, who can protect them from harassment, from oppression, from what have you, demonically speaking. And it was an issue of power. And whereas, you know, that's foreign to Americans on the whole. We don't think that way, even though, of course, we've already said a lot of people don't even believe in the spirit realm. But even for those who do, they don't really think about power. Well, I think you'd think about it if you really encounter some of the stuff that's out there. But they do. And they want to know, who can protect me? And can this God, can your God protect me? Is he greater than the other gods, in quotes? It's just a different world, different mindset. And you name it, I've probably been there in Asia, Southeast Asia, and states, countries, and this is just prevalent.
I just heard Craig cut off. Are you there, Craig?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it just sounded like something clicked off, but go ahead.
Yeah, so at any rate, so, I mean, it's just fascinating to me, the difference. And I'll never forget my first or second trip to Nepal. They were having their annual national religious holiday, and they're in the center of Kathmandu, one of the centers of the town. They were having this giant idol that they had made. They're like 30, 40 feet high. But But a lot of these guys are going into trance states and speaking and doing things like what we call automatic writing and all that. And I remember thinking at the time, the book of Acts sometimes seems a foreign when they talk about spirits and various gods, or even Athens, even a statue to the unknown god, but all these statues to appease the various so-called deities or gods or whatever you want to call them. And I thought, man, Acts isn't dead. It's alive and well. And that's a communal thing. There, you're the oddball if you don't believe in that. If you don't participate in the community rituals and all that, I mean, they just see you as being the weirdo and the goofball and having bizarre views. They just take the spirit realm again as, like, how could you deny that? That's just normal. Only an idiot would deny that.
And so even when you're saying that about the chiefs, and you think that we use words out here like sophistication, doesn't this go deep, Craig? Because when you mention that the fastest growing religion in America, I guess in the Western world, is atheism, I've had a conversation that I heard that two of my relatives were having about one being a believer and the other one saying he was an atheist. And the one that was saying, no, I'm not an atheist, I just have a bunch of questions, so stop calling me an atheist. What is the difference when a person either believes or don't believe? Is it not that black or white when it comes down to the gospel?
Well, it is in that sense, and there are nuances of belief or unbelief, I guess we should say.
Mm-hmm.
Many people would say, well, I'm not an atheist, I'm agnostic, I don't know, but they live like they're an atheist. So when they say they don't know, to me, if I don't know something, then I would be cautious, right? If I'm not sure something's a good investment, I'm not going to fully reject it or accept it. But when people live their life as if something is not true, well, that's more atheism. But many people don't like that term. They won't say, well, I'm not an atheist, I'm just agnostic, I'm not sure. Now, we would say there's a difference between perhaps a person who's looking into spiritual matters and even is open to hearing about Christianity versus someone who just says, oh, that's just, you know, the proverbial opiate to the other people. That's just for ignorant, uneducated, unenlightened people who don't really understand science. I mean, we're so smug. We think we're so smart in our Western education. And so we just look down our nose at people who believe in spirits and that, because obviously they're primitive and they're not very sophisticated like us, of course. But again, the bulk of the world, it's ironic, and it doesn't prove it, but the world looks at us and goes, you guys are the weird ones, you're the dumb ones, you deny the obvious. So at any rate, but atheism technically is, you know, it's literally with the word theos in Greek for God and the A and alpha privative, a negation, like, you can take any word and you put an alpha in front of it in Greek, and that means they're like saying non or un. Or as we do, he's unemployed, he's a non-believer, it means they're not something. And, you know, the nons, the category is growing. Every year here in America, the nons, people who are not religious, who don't have any views about that stuff, or they say. Although the occult, dabbling in the occult is going crazy. And even someone like Clay Rutledge in his book on the supernatural, who, as far as I know, is not a Christian, not even a religious person, to the best of my knowledge, but talks about Gen Z and X and all the others, and they're just obsession with things occultic, astrology, runestones, tarot cards, all that stuff, because atheism just doesn't get to it. People know there's something more to life than this cross-materialism. There's some people who can try to live by that, but most people know there's something more. There's got to be something more to life than just, I'm just a freak of nature. I'm a total happenstance, totally contingent, arbitrary being, came to life through a totally random, you know, process of no intelligence behind it. I mean, if you can believe that, I got some swampland to sell you in Alaska. But that's the dominant view, right?
Wow.
An evolutionary worldview.
You know what, Craig, before I have you tie a bow in it, because when you use the word agnostic, that's going to bring me to Gnostic. I mean, the Gnostic Gospels and all that kind of stuff, and I want you to tie that up in a bow. But before you do, I'm going to give the people an opportunity to call Eric. You got to put him to work unless he may take a break and we will not see him again. So call Eric right now if you have a question and you want to get that question answered from a biblical perspective. If you've been going to church, you've been reading the Bible, or if you already got all the answers, I understand why you don't call in. But please take an opportunity to use the platforms that we have. Call Eric at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number you can call him right now. He has lines available, and he will put you in the queue. We get those questions asked and answered. All the other formats that I mentioned earlier in the broadcast is Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for Facebook at our Facebook account, email at our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or even Truth Social. We have some other things coming up in the weeks to follow. But all of those addresses are the same, and hopefully we can keep this address on any other platforms we may use for your convenience. And it's Bible Info Brokers. So that's Bible Info Brokers for the various platforms of email, Tweet, Messenger, Truth Social, or our .com website. And while you're on our website, you can kind of navigate around there and look at the various resources that we have. So take an opportunity to do that. Eric is definitely waiting for your phone call. He's over there twiddling his thumbs. And so call him right now, 888-995-5552. He'll get you in the queue when we get those questions asked and answered. Now, PCH, go ahead and put a bow on it with that idea that atheism, you have agnostic. And is it agnostic spelled with an A and then Gnostic? And that's where we get agnostic from?
Yes, because gnosis is one of the words for knowledge. Episteme would be or you get a word, epistemology is another one. Epinosis, full, complete knowledge. But gnosis is kind of the most generic term for knowledge. And then there were people who called themselves Gnostics, so they believed they had this super pipeline of knowledge. Mere Christians had mere pistis, a mere faith, P-I-S-T-I-S, but they had the gnosis, the knowledge. And again, so you just take the noun or verb in Greek, and you put an A on it, so agnostic. I have no knowledge. I don't claim to know. But again, but they live like there isn't a God, and they die like there is no God. So they're willing to go into eternity and say, I don't know. We'll find out. Well, you're going to find out all right, but it's a little late, and that's not a very successful strategy. That'd be like, to me, it'd be like not planning for retirement. Say, well, I'll just worry about it when I get there. We'll see if I need money and whatever. It's like, by the time you get the age to retire, it's a little late to plan for it. You should have planned earlier. And I'm going to argue there is a God. The evidence is overwhelming, I believe. The wise person believes and knows there's a God. And not just knows there is, but lives in light of. In fact, I was teaching today and made the point about it's to live in light of what we know. To just like if I believed that something was harmful to me health-wise or was good for me, hopefully I would do what was good for me and try to avoid what's not good for me. Or if I believed something was a good investment or a good plan or strategy for retirement, well, it's not enough to know it. You've got to appropriate the knowledge, right? Operative word, appropriate. You need to apply what you know. And all the more... A fortiori, you'd say all the more from the Latin, if there is a God, and if there is a God and you're going to meet him, you might want to take care of that here and now. And that's where trusting in Christ comes in and believing on him as your Lord and Savior, because the biblical view, the Christian view is, it's not a question of if you're going to die, it's a question of when. It's not a, you know, you can deny it all you want, but there's still one per customer, last time I checked. Everybody checks out. Nobody, the old saying, nobody gets out of here alive. But so it's not if you're going to die, you are. And it's not if there is a God, there is. And it's not if you're going to meet him, it's going to be under what conditions. Either he's going to be your advocate, your parakletos, the Greek word, your advocate, the Greek word for an attorney, for a lawyer, your advocate, someone who argues in your behalf, or you're going to meet him as your judge. And if you meet him as your judge, you can cash it in, my friend. It's over with. And that's a cold, stern, sterile reality of meeting God, who is a consuming fire, who is holy and righteous and takes no excuses for sin. The wise person says, yes, that's right. I acknowledge it now. Ask for forgiveness and want to get right with God right now through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Well, folks, you know, listen, folks, I see that the lines are still open. Craig, I don't even know if the lines are working or not, but notwithstanding, I have about 5 hours worth of questions, but we only have a two-hour broadcast. So I'm going to give the people another opportunity to call in or send us a question by Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or True Social, because I have a lot of things I want to go over. I think that are very important. At least they're important in my life as I'm growing up in my most holy faith. But call Eric right now if you want to join in the broadcast, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number. All the other formats is Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for email, tweet, messenger, True Social, enable.com website for emails. PCH, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a privileged opportunity to let the people know how they can give financially? That way we won't have to take time to do that later on if people decide to start calling in. If not, I have a plethora of questions, especially about what we've been learning in church for the last month, dealing with the book of Colossians and some of the things that the pastor was talking about and good solid points he was making and questions. And I mean, you could have questions if you're learning from the Word of God. If you're reading the Word of God, I'm sure you have thoughts and comments. But if you don't have any questions, and I'm really wondering if people are really getting the grasp of the sermons. And if you are, you need to honor your pastor with, hey, good job. And I got this from this. I learned this. I thought this before. And now I think this after you taught that. I checked you out, pastor, and you're doing a fine job on this. Hey, wait, I think you might be, you know, let's talk about this effort. That's what growing in your most holy faith is, folks. You got preachers, you got teachers and everything, as they talk about in Ephesians, as far as God equipped the church to do what? To edify the believers to do the work of ministry. So I know you're taking what you're learning, not only from this broadcast, but from church, and doing the work of ministry. If you're not, shame on you. You need to step that up. But PCH, why don't you do me a favor now? If you give the alphabet soup on our giving, and you know what that is, I'll give the directions on how they can continue to support this ministry, especially during the time that you're about to go out now overseas again, and as many other things opening up, even in Africa. I know you got some things opening up. I got some things opening up in Africa that we're going to be bringing to the people. So let's let the people know while we have time. And if they call in, we have questions. We'll deal with their questions. If not, I have questions. Take it over.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks, Daryl. Yeah, number one prayer, we really covet people's prayers anytime, but particularly as I'm leaving tomorrow night. Well, technically, I'm leaving Tuesday morning at 12:15 in the morning. you know, the typical red eye to go to Asia. But at any rate, I appreciate people's prayers and for the ministry and what the Lord has for us and dealing with human trafficking and selling, in particular, little girls as young as five into sex slavery. And that still goes on, and not just goes on, it's pretty rampant in some areas still. And we're dealing with that, and then mainly the Christian ministries, government to be sure, but the UN. But the UN does great reports, but they don't really do much to actually counteract it. So at any rate, we're going to be dealing with government entities and whatnot, but mainly Christian ministries, helping them, equipping them, and of course, getting better educated for the students I take with me on, you know, what goes on and how they can make a difference. So appreciate people's prayers. But, yeah, we have the big three areas for the Bible Info Brokers. Number one is just the general fund to pay the radio expense, to cover just all basic overhead. There is the website, the webmaster, keeping that up to date, uploading the various programs and whatnot, the materials we give out for free, and all that. So that's just one way you can give. If you don't specify anything, that's where your funds will go, towards the ministry, because we are a faith-supported broadcast. We have also what we call the FFF, the Faithful Friend Fund, and that's to help pay for the health insurance for our dear Brian, brother, who went with the people of the Lord last year at the end of the year after he'd been in Nepal with me. But anyway, Brian and his dear wife, Ari, it's right and good to help her and to pay attempt to pay her health insurance. So you could give specifically to that. And also the TOT, the training of trainers, the training of trainers. And what that's about is training three, again, pastors, missionaries, and other Christian leaders like Christian school teachers, principals, counselors, others, besides pastors and missionaries, to further equip them with the gospel. I mean, there's a lot of persecution going on right now in India and elsewhere in the world, a lot of needs of the church, a lot of need for more training, and myself and a bunch of other brothers and that teachers, people who have, you know, quite a bit of experience are going back over to I'll be gone for about 2 weeks over into Southeast Asia, and then come back, and then going in 2.5 weeks later, going for 2 weeks into India and Nepal, again training missionaries, Christian leaders, and pastors. And we pay their travel expenses, we pay their food and lodging, the training of course is for free, and you could be a part of that if you say, "Well, that sounds good to me. I want to be involved in that." Well, you can with your prayers and your financial support as you stand with us. It's as good as you going with us and helping us do that, because, you know, we need the help. We need the assistance. We can't do all of it. We are dependent upon God, but he primarily works for you, his people. So if you believe in what we're doing, whether it's just the radio program and general overhead of the Faithful Friend Fund, I to pay the health insurance for Brian's widow, or also want to get involved in the training of pastors, Christian leaders, and missionaries, such as folks going to eastern parts of Nepal that have never heard the gospel. If that sounds appealing to you, think that's worthwhile, then will you stand with us prayerfully and financially? And we, you know, because we go over, we're very transparent, I get receipts. I was telling somebody, I was actually talking to another brother today who got denied entry into a particular country, and I'm not going to talk about it for various reasons, but the point is, we were talking about the difficulties and how I said, yeah, one of the best things to do is to show people, is to go on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, and show you, here's the pictures of the people we're helping. Here's the guys, here's the gals that we're training. Here's the people we're referring to. But we're kind of a catch-22, Daryl. We can't do that because we've literally had the police agencies come after us. We've had to take stuff off the website. We have them then denying us entry back into a country. So we can't always show you what we do, but we can show you receipts where the funds go and generic pictures. But in some areas, you literally risk the life of believers by taking pictures of them. And I wish I was exaggerating. I wish I was making this stuff up, but I'm not. I'm not telling people the half of it. At any rate, if you want to stand with us, Daryl's going to tell you how you can do just that.
Folks, the key word that Greg said in this whole detail is designate. I just ask that you prayerfully consider all that Greg said, and you designate. You designate to what you want to donate. So you D2D, as it were, D2D. You know, you guys do that short talking these days, the text talking. So just designate your donation so that we may know how the Lord is moving upon you to give in that particular area. Thank God that we're in a position. We've been that way for 20 plus years, not to have to take a salary for doing the work of ministry. God has blessed us in that area, so we want to pass over that blessing and let you know that when Craig talking about receipts, he know I am with that right down to the penny on things. That's just the way my mind works. I'm a numbers guy. And at the same time, I'm also a guy that don't like to give money to $1 trillion organizations that they get more trillions of dollars. So here's how I want you to consider giving. And when you do give to what Craig told you about, and you can go to our website, and you can do that by online presence. You click the icon that says support and donate at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers, and you click that icon that says support and donate and follow this. So I'm looking at it right now. You follow one paragraph instructions. So very simple. But also important is that if you're going to send a check or have a check sent by your bank to save fees, we're working on that other aspects where we can Zelle things and stuff like that. So I'll be having information about that for you in the weeks to come. But right now, just simply go online, click the support and donate button, follow the instructions. But everything else, if you're going to have a physical check come to our post box office, it has to be done this way. Very, very important so it won't get lost into the mail, as it were. So if you want to use, as Brian used to say, snail mail, which I guess it means slow, you know, so then here's what you can do. You simply let your bank know this is what you want to do, set up with them, or if you're going to write the check yourself, get a money order, however you want to do it. Make it out to Living by the Word, or LBTW Sufficient, LBTW, or Living by the Word. And that's address is P.O. Box 90477. Again, Living by the Word, LBTW, if you would, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles at the zip code of 9, bunch of zeros in the middle, and 9. So that's 90009. That's the zip code. Once again, checks, money orders, and anything that you're going to have sent in a way of a physical check, and it's going to go to our post box office number. Make the check out in the envelope to Living by the Word, or LBTW, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. And I thank you 100% in advance already. We really appreciate it. The giving, please, 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 I say this, I need to say it even more now. Please don't take away from the ministry that you've been going to, the church that you go to, the Bible group that you're supporting or whatever. Support the place that you're being fed. And we're saying if you have extra and if you, like Craig said, support what we're doing, and by all means give. If you have all the Lord's money, you know who you are. You know how much money you got. You know that you buy a doggone cup of coffee and it costs you $10 and $20 these days. You know what you can do. So we appreciate your giving in advance, and we definitely covered your prayers. We really 100% appreciate that, and thank you very much, PCH, for informing them what the money is going to. Okay, let's see. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. Every other format is Bible Info Brokers as far as the address, and you can send us a question by Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, by all means, click that share button so the people in your contact can know that you're listening and they can join us live now or on our archive shows in the future. So that's Facebook. Email us at our .com website at Bible Info Brokers, and also Messenger, Tweet, and even True Social, the newest one we have now. All those are Bible Info Brokers is the address. Bible Info Brokers is the address. And then we'll be able to receive your question and get those asked and answered. Appreciate it. Okay, let's see. You know what? PCH, we got our dear friend JR on. I'm going to bring JR on. I think we dealt with this question, but maybe he has a connection to the question on what we just dealt with. JR, thank you for holding on and coming in. You up there in Upland today, huh?
Yeah, right. We got the caffeine here.
All right, my brother. Well, thanks for calling in. Let's get into it. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. Well, we have an interesting one. My wife and I, we met this mother and daughter team over here in the area, and they were saying about being atheist or agnostic, but the daughter was saying that in her experience in her 30s now, she's more agnostic. So she brought up Buddhism and Christianity, and we're sharing the gospel with her. And just honestly, she was very gentle and humble, and she was listening, and she was very, like, hungry and thirsty. So I was like, oh, man, you know, thank you, Lord, that as we're equipped and we are showing ourselves to be approved, that's 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 3, would say, being a man or a woman in Christ and in the Lord. So whenever, you know, we meet random people, whether it's a gas station or laundry or market, or we have a few minutes of chit-chat, you know, we're able to share that with them. And then so authentic and genuine, they're just like, you can see how, you know, they're just seeking and searching, you know, for the Lord, man. And, they accept the gospel. You don't have to force it on nobody, you know. And it's like, wow, it's just, we're just excited to be able to share that, you know, with you brothers, and just that we have an awesome team like you guys that have been at it for over 21 years, just helping people like us out here on the field, you know.
Amen. Amen. Now, JR, you use the word wild. I need you to make sure that Craig knows I'm not setting these calls up and, you know, people saying and calling about the questions I bring up. So let Craig know and the listening audience know that you and Uncle Daryl, we did not speak since last week, correct?
Amen.
All right. So you see, Craig, see how that stuff works out?
Come on. How much did he pay you?
I knew you was going to go there, man. Come on, PCH. This Uncle Daryl, you know I don't do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, check
it out.
Yeah. Sure, Daryl, whatever you say.
Yeah, well, you heard it from the young man's own lips. You know, we didn't have any conversation. I probably was too busy anyway. But, hey, JR, that's great out there, man. And again, you might want to share, if you talk to the people again, the mother and the daughter combination, and if they have access to the internet, share with them the broadcast, and they can hear specifically the order that we dealt with this question, because that was one of the second questions I brought up, because it was some things that was going on, even in my family, that I wanted to, you know, bring it to the listening audience, because that's how we all learn, like Eric even purported in the beginning of the broadcast, how when you have a question, which is never a stupid question, as long as it's a sincere question, I believe that's a great way for all of us to live, learn from this particular format. And I really appreciate you calling in on that, brother.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, you know, I like to tell him. I said, I've known her for a long time, and just, you know, I said, the professor and the crew, you know, that they will not just give you their opinion, you know, or even mine. You know, it's backed up by biblical inspiration, right? Not just information. I said, it's the VIB crew, man. I said, I'm just a little, you know, small, tiny, gentle, humble part about it. I said, I do, you know, some promotions, so to speak. I you know, will invite people to tune in to the broadcast every Sunday night from 10 to 12. And it's just awesome. I said, you know, he knows the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic. I do voice impersonations of the professor. It's been a while, you know.
But, hey, what's our guy, Craig?
You know, if you don't mind, I mean, just for a second, I said, look, I said, don't mix your metaphors there, JR. Just make sure you get your Spanish and your English correctly in context. Amen?
Hey, man. We appreciate that, JR. God bless you, man.
We love you guys, man.
All right.
God bless you. Shalom, Koinonia, Kairos. You guys keep on rocking. We're going to keep the antenna tuned in over here in Upland City, California tonight, man. You guys be blessed in the Lord, and let's keep it, you know, flowing and going here, brothers.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate right, you. Man. All right. Hey, Craig, what was our guy's name that you can, I mean, really impersonate, get the voices down really good? What was that? Was that Aaron? I'm trying to remember his name.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron, if you out there, man, you got to give us a call. We have open lines, so we might as well turn this into the variety show if people don't want to call in and get some questions answered from a biblical perspective. I have more questions. We're going to deal with those. Craig may have some things he want to talk about. But, hey, if some of our old guys, that, especially my man, I think it was Aaron, who can do impersonations, that was very entertaining because he never got on my case as much. But, I mean, I appreciate all the other ones he did.
Yeah, but that's why you like him.
Hey, of course, man. Hey, can I?
He did me.
Can I like who I like? You used to always tell me I want these likes on what's his Facebook. You get likes on Facebook. So, I mean, there you go. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, join us. As you can see, this is a live broadcast. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, truthsocialr.com website. So you can send us an email as well. And, you know, again, we really appreciate you participating. You know, pray as we're even having a broadcast that those things get taken care of. PCH, if people want to call in, they can call in. But I do want to do a little bit more business right quick, that some of the other ministries that we have going on, so that way we can talk about those other ministries as people decide to call in, especially one of them that we when Brian was alive with his brother. He had a Bible study on Wednesday in a group that was joining him. I'm going to also let the people know that you can go on our website at BibleInfoBrokers.com right now. Right on the first page, I'm looking at it now, and it tells you how to join Sal in the virtual Bible study. It's just simply use the contact information on the website, and then you can simply email Sal. I'll give his email address for those of you. Well, you must have internet to be able to contact him that way and join in on a Zoom link. So go to our website at Bible Info Brokers, right on the very front page. It has that virtual Bible study, and you got information to go ahead and join in with that. Also, like on our Facebook page, it's interesting, Craig. I'm learning more and more about this Facebook, and they went to something called Meta or something like that, but it's still Facebook. It's sort of, I guess they're, I don't know how many different versions they have, but we still have the opportunity, which I do post daily, and this is day 140, a daily reading. And here's why I encourage folks to do this, and I would just highly encourage you to do this from the standpoint of the legacy you want to leave to your children, or the legacy if you are a young person that you may want to develop over the years, which is to read the Bible. I just happen to like to do it chronologically. You don't have to, but if you want to follow it on our Facebook page, it's a daily reading chronologically. And here's how you can archive your thoughts. I'm simply asking you to post a comment, and the comment I usually ask people to post is, what stood out to you in the reading that you had? You can't be wrong with that. It's what stood out to you. It's no right or wrong. And then if you have a question, post a question as well. And if you do that daily, can you imagine all the people that may hear about our Facebook page and do that? Then we have plenty of questions already in advance for the broadcast, number one. And number two is you develop how to make comments and what stood out to you on the whole Bible. It takes about 20 minutes to read the scripture. And if you do it like I do it, you simply listen to the scripture being read. You follow along with your eyes, kind of read softly to yourself. It helps your reading. It speeds things up. I mean, I talk fast and I kind of read fast. So you can go through it. But about 20 good solid minutes, you'll be able to go through the whole Bible by reading this particular method 20 minutes a day. It's usually max, 20 minutes max a day. So a lot of times it's less than that. And what a wonderful way to get into the Word of God, to grow up in your most holy faith. And then that will lead you from reading the Bible to studying things that are outstanding to you. PCH, you know it's important to read the Word of God. You've been dealing with the Word of God before. And I heard somebody say the other day about, I'm glad people who were in intelligentsia, there were people there that can teach me about the biblical things, because if you got a person that's not in intelligentsia and you have a person that maybe just have a high school education and trying to talk to a professor or something like that, 9 times out of 10, if I'm not mistaken, Craig, that professor's not going to hear that person who doesn't have that educational level that he has, even though he may be giving them the absolute 100% unadulterated gospel. Now, it is up to the Holy Spirit to do what he has to do, but let the people know about your background, Craig, and how it was in the same intelligentsia that you was able to find out about the gospel and then lead right into the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So I apologize, Daryl. What exactly are you looking for?
I'm looking for sort of like your story as we lead into the gospel message about how people in intelligentsia, you know, at that level may not necessarily hear from a person like from that have a high school level that's not in that same arena, so that the gospel, not that it's important that the person be a professor or anything like that, but to have the respect to even listen to talk on that professor level, like we were talking last week about, you know, apologetics and the persuasion way to get the gospel message out at different levels. People are at different levels. People talk to different people different ways. How is it that the gospel came to you? Did it come to you from the guy at the supermarket, or did it come to you from some guys in that intelligentsia?
Well, yeah, sorry, that's why I want to make sure it built. Thanks. I was very fortunate because, well, for example, I was studying philosophy and classical history at UCI. At the time, I was rated like number 13th in the nation in the philosophy department. I did very well. I graduated with honors, really, without even trying. But my point is, though, I think, but also there were doubts. There were questions that were given to me and challenges, a problem of evil, and just a number of issues. And I thank God that there were people out there like Walter Martin and many other people who were extremely bright, very, very well educated, who could address the issues that I had, the concerns I had myself, or that were given to me by the atheists and the agnostics who I was studying with. I got along well with my professors, and even as an undergrad was kind of invited to hang out with them. And but you know, there wasn't a committed Christian among them, and they were very hostile overall to the gospel message. And then they had, to me, you know, concerns and arguments, and I needed answers. And again, I just thank the Lord that there were people like Walter Martin, and I think of the great intellects. There are plenty today of scientists, of people like William Dembski, have dual doctorates from top schools in mathematics, I'm trying to remember the other area of his PhD. They're both, both areas of philosophy. Again, in philosophy and mathematics. And there's a guy named James Tour, T-O-U-R, is like one of the top scientists in the world, ranked by various non-Christian organizations and as one of the top 10 in the world. And he's a committed Christian. I mean, again, there's so many people like that. And it's not for everybody, but for those of us who have intellectual doubts and concerns, I thank God for those people who have a committed faith and belief. You know, historically, in the church had some of the most educated and brightest people in the world. That was very common for in the Christian circles. And even today, I think at Caltech, there's way over 25%, might be 30, 33 or somewhere in there, percent of the scientists and people who work at Caltech claim to be committed Christians. Somebody I know, an acquaintance who got a job teaching at MIT, who got their PhD in science at Caltech. I mean, and yet it's a committed Christian. So there are Christians like that. And again, for some people listening, they're like, who cares? But for those of us who have intellectual issues and concerns about the gospel, whether they were
from our own studies or that were given to us, even as just objections to the gospel. I really thank the Lord for those people. And see, to me, what I would say is a ministry. Again, if we had time, we could go through a list of top intellectuals and thinkers in the world, in mathematics and, you know, various fields, biology, and then so on and so on and so forth. And just the cream of the crop. And then many of them are Christians. I think of, not John Searle, another famous philosopher of science, who says one of his greatest concerns is some of the brightest people he knows are committed Christians, and that really bothers him. He himself is a very well-known atheistic philosopher, particularly in science and mathematics, and yet he knows, has a number of colleagues who are committed Christians, and he believes they're every bit as bright and educated as he is, and that really kind of bothers him, but he still persists in his atheism because he wants to. He says he wants atheism to be true. He doesn't want to have to believe in God. And to me, that just that's pretty honest. I don't want God to exist. I don't want to believe in God. Well, at least you're being honest now. So anyway, it's just amazing the number of bright bulbs that are out there who have world-class education, some of the, you know, the best schools in the world, and a number of them multiple earned doctorates, not honorary stuff, but earned doctorates, and yet they were committed Christians. I thank God for those people because I believe they serve a vital role. Even C.S. Lewis talked about that. We need people trained in various academic disciplines so they can help the rest of us with concerns and questions that we have from those areas.
You know, I think as even you're talking about, it's not that those people are any more important than anyone else. That's not even true as far as the soulish realm. Ontologically, we're all the same in regards to that, but it's like, let's just be practical about it. It's like you going on these trips that we're talking about is just a particular strategy. I believe we can use that word. And every strategy is not for every situation, but I love the strategy that you guys have. You know, you're a guy that's going to stand out like a sore thumb and not be as successful trying to get into the various places that you're going to be going to overseas without the connections that you have. So it's important.
Exactly, and that's a great point, Joe. It's not that they're more important, but they are more influential.
Yes.
So I'm referring to the guy named Thomas Nagel, mm-hmm. Philosopher of science, and anybody in philosophy, especially science. I mean, that's a household name for those in those areas of discipline and study. And but again, he says, you know, one of his biggest concerns are the many educated colleagues he has who believe in God, and he says flat out, I don't want to live in a world where God exists. I don't want God to exist. And I just think it's so honest. A lot of people, basically, they want to live what they want to do. Translation, they want to live their lifestyle they want to live, which many of us would call immoral. And if there's a God, then that means you're going to be held accountable. So what do you do? Well, if God doesn't exist, I can do whatever I want. As long as I don't get arrested for it, who cares? So, I mean, it's just high stakes. These people are they're disproportionately influential. I mean, I hate the word influencers. To me, it's so cheesy. You know, on the internet, you're an influencer, whatever that means, okay. Or a life coach, my other favorite term. But sorry, just getting it off my chest.
That's okay. We have therapists for that. We have, and no matter of fact, we have a break that you can take. So you can take a deep breath, do a hoo-sah, and then the music is playing in my head right now. So folks, as Craig is taking a hoo-sah and his appointed break as we have every week, then call us right now. Open lines, plethora of them. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. I'll give you all the information on the other side of the break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries. It's a presentation of Living by the Word Ministries, which we have the Bible Information Brokers. I'm one of the teammates, Daryl E.C.D. Fulton, along with Eric and PCH. Ozzy is making sure all this technological stuff is happening. So, man, Ozzy is making it all happen, even the music in the background that you're enjoying right now. But I want you to do this. Write down this number. Call in now. We have open lines if you want to join in with the questions you may have, so we can give you a biblical response if there is one, at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, or as Eric says, 888-995, you might remember this better, KKLA, 888-995-KKLA. The other formats, and we're learning more and more about this social media, is one address, Bible Info Brokers, for the various platforms. The platforms are Facebook, at our .com website, Bible Info Brokers, Tweet, Messenger, and even Truth Social. We're going to have some more coming up. We're looking at all the various ways that we can glorify and honor God through this question and answer format to share with the world. And be in contact with as many people as we can. So take an opportunity to call in. Join the broadcast right now. If you're not going to call in, at least pray and continue to pray for this broadcast specifically and also for us individually as Eric, myself, and PCH deal with the issues of life that we all have. And if you have any prayer requests and things like that, take the opportunity to use those formats to take advantage of them. Put your prayer requests out there to the listening audience that you are teammates of ours. I'll call you teammates. And then let's take advantage of all the things that God's given us to glorify Him, honor Him, and so that we might be able to grow by utilizing each other. And I mentioned about our Bible study. I mentioned about the various things I put up daily as far as chronological reading. PCH, before we get into the gospel message, which I'm going to ask you to do it a special way, if you don't mind, in a second. Matter of fact, let's do the gospel message, and we can get into the other thing I'm going to ask you to do in regards to the other things that you have going on as far as during the week and even when you're out of town. It still can go on because people can still participate, and we can get those questions, like, loaded up for that channel that you said you got down. I think you call it your channel, Craig's channel, something. We'll deal with that. Matter of fact, talk about it now. Do you have a channel yet, Craig?
No, I don't.
Well, what is this channel stuff you keep telling me about? Do you have some kind of channel you associate with?
I am on his channel.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Those long words always throw me off. Go right ahead. Tell the people about it.
Yes, so I have the pleasure of being on Internet TV on hischannel.com. No hyphens, another space. His channel, just like it sounds, H-I-S, and then channel.com. Wednesdays from 1 to 2 o'clock. 1 to 2 o'clock on Wednesdays. People text in their questions, and we attempt to answer them. And so attempt to answer questions. If you have questions on the Bible, theology, cults, the occult, world religions, philosophy, religion, theology type issues, worldviews, ethics, then give it a call, and Daryl will give you the number even. And you can text your question or questions, singular or plural. And, not facts, but text. And we will attempt to answer them. So there you go, Daryl.
I love how we're growing old gracefully. Now, I'll talk about Mama Grace later on in the broadcast, but I like the way we're growing old gracefully. So do not send a fax, but send a text to 714-815-7097. Once again, for text messages. And do that after the broadcast. You can do that 24/7. Send a text message for the questions for his channel, where Professor has the privilege of being on, at 714-815-7097. Now, PCH, this is my request about the gospel message and various ways that we can deliver the message about the gospel and, various ways. When, yes, the words are important, and what the gospel is all about is very important, so we want to make sure that we stay in contact with what the Bible is. But can you share with people, you're about to travel, can you kind of, play it out how you would share the gospel with someone that's on the airplane or someone you just meet that has a, even using an interpreter, however you want to do it. I just want you to do it in a way that may be a little bit more, a little different than the way we normally give the gospel message. But how do you talk to somebody if you're on an airplane flying home and you're talking about the gospel message and you don't want to get on the speaker and just shout it out even though you probably want to?
Well, sure, I could, but I'm going to try a different tact and see if this will be acceptable.
Okay.
I always try to get to know people, whether it's in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I've had 2-3 hour conversations, 5 hour conversations on a plane. I've had a minute or two. They don't want to talk. They don't want to hear it. And it's like, we're done. Okay, I go watch TV or a movie or whatever. But I've had conversations, one flight, 15 hours. I would say 14 hours of that was an incredible in-depth conversation with a young man who was going to UC Berkeley at the time. And he was reading some stuff, some scientific stuff, allegedly disproving Christianity. And I simply asked, well, what's your best shot? Give me the best arguments in the book. And basically did a jiu-jitsu move on it, a judo throw, if you will, showing. And here's the point. I don't mean to be a smart aleck or smug, but I do really believe this.
that the best things in life and that the things that people value only come from if Christianity is true. So ethics, morality, just life, the good, if you will, the beautiful, it really only has meaning and significance if Christianity is true. And so I would argue I not only attempt to refute non-Christian worldviews and show the problems with them, like Richard Dawkins' book, The Selfish Gene, is what he'd been reading, and I'd read it, and I'm like, okay, so what do you think the best argument is in there? And I dealt with that. And then I wanted to give proactive arguments, but I give arguments really only in light of where the person's coming from. Not that I'm just a opportunist, but I believe that really all that matters is relating to people where they are. If I talk about something or give proofs, in quote, that they don't even care about or don't understand or have any interest in, I've not done anything. I'm just talking. I'm just shooting my mouth off. But to find out where people are and what would matter to them, I like to ask them, what do you believe would prove Christianity to be true? What do you believe proves it to be false? For that matter, what you believe, why do you believe it? And why do you believe it, and what would it take to refute it, or, you know, what have you? And I've had conversations, really blunt ones. I'll tell you one right now. I was talking with a gal on the shorter flight, about two and a half, three-hour flight, and she was very chatty, and I enjoyed it because I enjoy talking to people. And she was telling me she was originally from a Southeast Asian country. She came over to live in America, and she generally lives in America half a year. And then she'd go back over during part of the year several times, and was running an institute to help women who'd had, for example, hydrochloric or sulfuric acid thrown in their face because they broke an arranged marriage, which is very common, and about women who'd been abused and whatnot. And so at any rate, she was talking, and then she asked me, you know, what I do, and I said, well, in this case, I deal with human rights, and I advocate for people who are vulnerable and want to help them. And she was appreciative of that, but she's like, but if you know, I'm a Christian, and I do that because I'm a Christian, and I believe the inherent value and dignity of all people. And she liked that, but she was kind of bothered. She goes, well, but why do you religious people always come over here and do this? It bothers me. And I said, well, I get that, but yeah, I told her, but because I believe the inherent dignity and value of all people. That is, when you're talking about influencers, that's one thing, but I believe people have the same value, whether a Dalit, the lowest caste in Hinduism, or otherwise. And so, I believe in the value of people. So she was interested, but kind of perturbed, like kind of like you Christians keep coming over here and doing this, but how do you argue with, well, is something wrong with us coming over and helping people and not asking anything in return and not charging them for it? Is that a problem? But here's the punchline. I know I'm taking a lot of time.
No, this is so important. I'm glad we don't have as many callers as we normally do, because this stuff is important for people to hear. Please.
So she was an avowed Hindu. We'd already talked about that. And so she asked me that very blunt question, and I was happy to answer it, why I do what I do. And would you want me not to do it? And then I said to her, and I couched it this way. I said, now, don't get me wrong. I'm really glad you do what you do. I'm glad you come over here and you give women skill, teach them how to make jewelry or other things to make a living, particularly because now they're handicapped. They've been literally effaced because of having, again, often not the only thing, but hydrochloric or sulfuric acid thrown in their face because they broke an arranged marriage, but otherwise abused or mistreated by their husbands or family, father, whomever. I said, I'm so glad you do that, but I do have a question for you. And she goes, well, what's that? I go, but you're a Hindu. You believe in karma, and you really believe these ladies deserve this. It is their karmic debt. And so why are you interfering with their karma? Why don't you allow them to work it off? I said, again, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you do what you do, but I don't see why you do what you do in light of your views. In light of your religious convictions, being a devout Hindu, you believe in karma, and you believe it's their karmic fate, it's their debt, and they need to pay this off. Why do you help them? Why are you interfering? And I had mentioned someone who had gotten a PhD in philosophy at the University of Calcutta, and he was talking to one of his professors one time and was talking about his heart of compassion for the people who were homeless and hungry and beggars and all that stuff. And he wanted to help them. And his professor said, don't help them. If you help them, you're only harming them because you're preventing them from facing their karma and working it off. So that's basically the argument I gave this lady. And guess what she said to me, Daryl?
What is that, brother?
Nothing.
Wow. Because
she knew
she
got what I was saying, and she knew it. And she, this gal who had been very talkative, and I'm not knocking it, mm-hmm. had talked my ear off for almost 2.5-3 hours. All of a sudden, now had nothing to say. Why? Because she got it. Because she couldn't justify. In the humanitarian sense, made in the image of God, she could justify why she helps ladies who've been abused like this and give them a viable living and a way to survive. But according to religion, it made no sense, and she didn't want to face up to that.
You know, Craig, what you just did, I call the apologetics, or I'm going to do it a better way. I say it's the religion of listening. And people ask me this question all the time. Why do you just put up with so much stuff that people put in your ear? Because what you just did, Craig, if you let people talk enough, it's almost like putting money in the bank. You can make an argument that, hey, I listened to you for 2 hours. Can I just have 1/10 of that time that I listened to you? Like something like you just did in their regards. And then if the word of God and you pray, how can I say your word to this person where your message gets clearly across to them? And maybe God gives you something, or maybe you just shoot your best shot. But one of the best ways I think people need to do is listen to people so you can learn people, so you can have some investment in that person as an individual. Because if you just want to shoot the gospel and cookie cutter method to them, I don't think that's very effective personally. And then I find it to be that way as I get older and older. And usually you don't want to listen to people when you get older, but I find myself wanting to listen more and more and more and more while I have life so that I'd be able to come back and almost give them a staccato answer, you know, because I can go. You know, we can talk. You and I can talk. But I try to give people a staccato answer because I've invested so much time listening to their stories, listening to them about their life, and even encourage more information. They say, well, how did you know that about me? I say, because you told me. When did I tell you that? Do you really listen to what all the stuff I say? Yes, I do. Because people are important. Souls are important. So, PC.
You know, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Often we're too busy talking. We don't care ourselves talk. And I believe in really listening to people, not just as a technique, but I'm really caring.
Yes.
And knowing about them. And I have found that if you basically stop and listen and be quiet, people will tell you everything about their lives practically. Yes. They'll tell you more than you want to know. They'll go on and on. And then you can effectively, hopefully, winsomely share the gospel with them and interact with the things that matter to them, the things that are important. So if it's a scientific type person, I'm going to give scientific evidence, mathematical. If it's more of just a touchy-feely, then I'm going to do a completely different approach. I want to customize my approach to the person and not just use, as you've been saying, and rightly so, the so-called cookie-cutter approach. Mm-hmm. Here's my one approach I use on everybody. I treat everybody like they're a cookie, and I'm just going to stamp my thing on them instead of really meeting people where they are.
Craig, we got to come up with a different little way I say that, because you and I both, well, I probably more than you, love cookies. So I don't want that to be a negative connotation, anybody not sending cookies to this ministry at P.O. Box. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me not do that. But, and again, that's the importance, the reason why I asked you to share the gospel message that way, PCH, mm-hmm. because people really need to hear. And I think it needs to be actually, taught. Everybody's not going to be able to go to somebody's door and knock on somebody's door and deal with them face to face. That's not for everybody. I mean, I've done it before. It's not my particular cup of tea, but I'll do it because I want to participate and encourage other folks that have that type of ministry. So, but we have to learn how to say, no, we can't do everything in different styles, but we should be available if the Lord moves upon us to participate in various ministries like that. And I'm saying that to be able to lead into this other question I have. But before I give this question, Craig, or this thought, and then it's going to turn into a question, let me give the number out, because Eric has not done too much today, and I want to get him busy at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. We only have about another 35, 40 minutes left on the broadcast, so take advantage of it if you want to get a question asked and answered. 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA. All the other formats you can send these questions in now is Bible Info Brokers on our Facebook page. Please click share if you're going to be on Facebook. Tweet us, Messenger us, Truth Social us, if that's the way you say that, or go to our .com website and send us an email. All the formats, I have the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Now, PCH, I was actually looking during this week for various other apologetic ministries and the various ethnicities that deal with apologetics. And I just happened to come across, particularly, you know, my interest in Africa. I have friends in Africa, various parts of Africa, and, you know, not just because I'm African-American part, and I'm also Scottish and Irish, so there you go, you have that. But I was looking at some various ministries, and I came up to one, and the one just stood out to me, and it just happened to hit me, and it says this. It says, apologetics versus sound doctrine. And it was a part three to it. So I said, let me see what the part one was talking about. And they said apologetics and sound doctrine. So I was trying to, it's a long broadcast, so I only listen as much as I can to get the gist of what they're talking about. But then as I was looking at it and listening to it, I happened to look at some of the description of the person that was talking, the brother who happened to be from Zimbabwe. And they have quite a few views, like 10,000, 12,000 views, a whole lot more than we get. But the idea is this, that he was talking about sound doctrine. He was talking some pretty good stuff in the beginning of his broadcast. But then I was looking at the idea, and his ministry is based upon him being an apostle. So I'm going like, is making that small distinction, I'm using the only word small because it's one word, apostle so-and-so, like say Apostle Daryl or Apostle Craig versus Pastor Bernadette and things like that. So he had himself as one of the apostles in the ministry, and he had a female pastor, and they're talking about sound doctrine. I'm not saying that's for the lack of a better term, as I find out, listen more to him, a contradiction, but it seemed like an apparent contradiction to what we understand sound doctrine is, to have yourself as an apostle today and a female pastor. The ball is being tossed to you, or the baton is being handed to you. Is that a contradiction?
Well, I think it is. I don't believe there's a modern-day apostles and prophets. They're not for today. And some people will say, well, the word just means, literally from two Greek words, mean to be sent, the sent one. And that's like, no, that's a form of the root fallacy, and it also can be an etymological fallacy. Words don't just mean what they are by combining the roots of them. Otherwise, a butterfly would be a fly with butter on it. A fire truck would be merely a truck that's on fire. So whether it's Greek, Hebrew, or any other language, you can't just say silly stuff like that. So it's not just a set one. Paul tells us, for example, that clearly to be an apostle, it had to be someone who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul sees them, of course, via the resurrection. At the resurrected Christ, he appears to him on the road to Damascus. But Paul uses that as a proof that he's an apostle, also that they have the ability to work miracles. Now, these guys claim that they can do that, and I would say, well, then let's see it. Let's see the evidence. Why don't you just go to one hospital, and why don't you go through and heal just a few of the sick people there? I mean, to me, I just don't understand. It's pretty, to me, pretty simple to do. If you have the ability to heal at will, then why don't you just go into a hospital and show us? I mean, that would be pretty amazing stuff, and it would make sense. If you have those abilities, then we would expect to see them. So, excuse me, Daryl, let me give you the specific passages. I have some turning there in my Bible and trying to hold my phone and chew gum.
we're gonna get better with that, too, by the time you get back. Hopefully we get all the equipment we need. And, folks, that's be a good reason to give, because we need equipment so we can do this ministry even when we're overseas. I have some plans for us in regards to that, but even as we're overseas, we might be able to still maintain a live broadcast during this time. We don't sleep much, do we, Craig?
Not enough.
I'm getting better, though. I'm better than you. I know that.
Well, perhaps. Let me just do this in Acts chapter 1. I mean, even they wanted to replace Judas, right, wrong, or indifferent. So it says, what if to have 12 apostles to take one to take Jesus' place? We're told, verse 21 of chapter 1 of Acts, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have what been with us for the whole time with the Lord Jesus, went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness to us of his resurrection. And that, by that he means an apostle, a witness of an apostle. Now, let's look at two key passages here, Daryl, that will give us insight into this. So that's one. Now, Paul, of course, the Lord appeared to him directly. And he'd say, look, here's the evidence. I'm an apostle. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 9.
Okay.
As I turn there slowly but surely.
And as you're turning there, I'll give out the phone number again, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Give us a call. Eric's ready to receive it.
Right, and he tells us, for example, he tells us right out in chapter 9, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? The idea is, because I've seen the Lord and he's anointed me, appointed me, I'm an apostle. So have you seen the Lord? Right? So that's a big test. And here, chosen by Christ himself to be an apostle. He says, indeed, verse 2, even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. In other words, the miracles, the apostolic teaching, and his direct interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. One other passage here that would be relevant to this topic is first, and why let scripture stop you, I guess, right? He says, for example, let's go here. Well, he talks about having seen the Lord because he was caught up to heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. And so he uses that as another sign of his apostleship. And he says, furthermore, he tells us, he goes, do these things not, the working of miracles and that, are they not the seal of my apostleship? So the Bible's pretty clear about that. You can look at verses 1, 2, 3 of 12, but go down to verse 12. He says, the things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. Okay, let's see the signs, wonders. Let's see you clean out a hospital. Let's see that. You see the Lord. Were you appointed by him? No. And if you just say, well, an apostle is a sent one, okay, then we're all apostles. So which is it? Anyway, those are some of the things I'd want to say about that. So, yeah, I'm glad they wanted to send the gospel because we are told to do that. For example, in Peter, say, you show yourself approved unto God, and need not be ashamed. Actually, that's Timothy, but he goes on to say, be prepared to give to every person that asks you an answer, a reason for the hope that is within you, with reverence and respect. And the word answer there is apologia, from the verb apologia mai, and that is to give an answer. It's a legal term, a Greek term from the court of law, to give an answer. You've been charged with something, or you're trying to make a case. You have to give evidence or proof, and that's the word for answer there. And the word reason is a Greek word logos, so rational argument for your perspective.
And let me just throw one real quick thought about that. When people are giving these talks about that, I'm looking at what I thought was an apparent contradiction as far as you're talking about sound doctrine, but yet you're calling yourself an apostle and you have a female pastor on there. And, you know, when you come on there and you be almost like, people want to call that you're straining at a gnat. You're being picky. I mean, come on. It just means, like you said, the sent one. And, she's under my headship or my banner as a man and all that stuff. So it's almost like you're trying to cover your bases where it's more serious than that. And I've said this before, Craig, and I want you to correct me straight up in front of everybody so I can stop saying this if it's incorrect. I happen to believe that the way we do things, and we talked about this before, the way we do things, not that we just have to do the right thing, but we have to do it for the right reason. And it's a hard issue when it comes down to God. I really believe that when people are touching on these areas where maybe, you know, may not be our favorite area to talk about. But as an example, with the female pastors, as it were, God can still and will and have bless folks through the ministry of female pastors. Not like it's a simple one-on-one correspondence whereby you're not doing something right, so God's going to do this. Just like if that was the case, we would all have many spankings every day for all the thoughts that we have that are incorrect and wrong and sinful, the actions we have and all those things. So we wouldn't be straying at a net. But what I'm getting to is simply this, that the rewards by being a believer, I'm not going to question a person's salvation, but the reward you would get for doing something as good as being a preacher teaching sound doctrine and you're a female pastor holding that office, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, am I so far off to think that that's going to affect their rewards and how they're doing things while in Christ on this earth?
Well, that'd be my understanding, but I really, unless you want to spend 20 minutes there, I'm not going to go there. Because they need the argument, people just say you're a sexist bigot. So
okay.
I think of Rick Warren, he's coming back. I was there at the Southern Baptist Convention last year in Anaheim, where he was giving his like parting love letter to the Southern Baptists, and he berated them for not agreeing with him on issues like this. And he claimed he's trained over a million. Was it 1.6 million pastors or whatever? And it's like, seriously? I mean, he's done some good stuff, but I have some real difficulties and differences with him as well, including the idea that he's literally trained 1.whatever million pastors.
Right.
But the point is he's coming back to the next convention, and it's going to meet in New Orleans, and he's going to set them straight why they've got this all wrong about women being ordained to the pastorate. And
okay.
I was there, and I heard how harsh I would say his love letter was. I can only imagine what a letter of rebuke will be like. But it's not that. The issue is does your argument really hold water? He gives a bunch of arguments to me that are just fallacious. I mean, you've got to look at the text, and if you don't like it, well, then take it up with God. All
yes.
you have to do is appoint one woman apostle. All we need to see is one apostle, and people try to say Junius was and all that, and that's the real, I'm going to argue it's not what the Greek text is saying, and we should see it in early church history. It's really clear. Outside of the New Testament, especially, we should see women pastors, and we don't. So, at any rate, but people would say, well, that's just a sexist issue. You're just patriarchal pig. You're part of the problem. Nice alliteration, though.
Yeah,
but at any rate, knock yourself out. But if we don't do the right thing the right way with the right motives, we're not getting the reward from God.
And I think that's where the area is, personally. But we can talk about that. Maybe when you get back, we'll talk about that. And really kind of, let it play out. Let's talk it out. Because that's important. Because a lot of people think that, you can do something that's right and be a dubious way you're doing it, and then somehow you're going to get rewarded for it. I think that I'm not calling you an unbeliever, but I'm just saying that you're going to be spanked by daddy in some kind of way, form, or fashion. Let's go to phone calls, PCH. We have some people that actually called in here. Let's take a call from L.A., if you would, and talk with Jenna. Jenna, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yes, hi, guys.
How you doing?
How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. You know, you see Craig is on one. I'm trying to calm him down with these questions and answers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so my question is actually pertains to something that I've been dealing with. And it's regarding intrusive thoughts. I'm sorry, I'm breaking down here.
That's okay. That's okay. Take
a shot. Yeah, I guess my question is, is it normal for Christians to deal with intrusive thoughts? Because for the past month, I've been dealing with all kinds of thoughts that are really disturbing. And this is something that I've never dealt with in my entire life. And I'm just wondering, what's going on here? Could it be spiritual warfare? And I just, want your guys' advice on how I might deal with them. So that's my question.
That's a very sensitive question, Jenna, and we thank you for calling in because you're not the only one that's dealing with this. Trust me and believe it. It's interesting. I had this conversation with some believers and non-believers just this week. But PCH, why don't you go ahead and deal with this question, and I'll chime in if I need to.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, if I have a question, is this the Jenna we know?
Yes.
Hey, Jenna, are you all right?
I've been thinking about you because I need to talk to you about law school and some things, never finished that conversation. But hopefully we can do that next day or two, actually, before I take off. But Jenna, there's nothing wrong with having doubts, per se. That's not a sin. It's what we do with them and how we deal with them. But you're a thinking person. You're a thoughtful person. You know, you went to a major university. You studied a very rigorous subject matter. And I guess I'm surprised it's taken you this long to have these kinds of doubts, given your educational background. But so it's not like doubting per se is not a sin. It's what we deal with it. And and you are a thinking, logical, rational person. You're going to have questions. And sooner or later, these questions come to the forefront. And as I was saying earlier, and I just thank God there were people there for me when I was going through it, when I really had my questions and issues I was dealing with the Bible and the argument, the problem of evil, and could God make a rock so heavy he couldn't lift it, and other issues. Again, I thank God there were people there. So to me, I just want to commend you for being honest, number one. And God knows that, by the way. God's not like offended, like, oh, I can't believe this. You're having doubts about me. Oh, my, this is really just, I'm going to let her have it. Mm-hmm. You know, God understands, especially what you've been through and some other things that have happened in your life on a personal level, besides academically, where you studied and what you the discipline that you studied. So, and that's where you sit down with some people, hopefully, and just talk it through, like your dad and others, and say, well, here's my issue, here's my concern, and then look and listen for answers. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I would argue that those seasons in my life have brought me to where I am. I'm not committed as I am to Christianity now more than ever because I've lived a sheltered life. I spent most of my time in secular academic institutions and top schools, top-rated schools at that, and rigorous philosophy departments and other departments where I got degrees in, and they pounded on Christianity. So it's not like I've lived a sheltered life, but my faith is stronger than ever because I saw they really had no good answers. All they had, I'm going to use the word, but cheesy objections. And I don't think that really held water, and they had nothing better to put in its place. And Christianity, to me, weathers the storms of life, including the most rigorous doubts we can have. And so, again, I think of people like, I want to come back to you personally, but, you know, have you heard of John Lennox? Does that ring a bell to you?
No, I don't. I don't think I've heard of John Lennox.
He's at Oxford. He's one of the world's best mathematicians, and he's debated a number of atheists. He's very gracious. He's very genteel. I mean, a real, when I think of, I guess, chivalry in the British sense, he would be the definitive example for me. Yet he's incredibly rigorous, and he's written a number of books based on debates with famous atheists and whatnot. And like one's called God's Undertaker, you know, has modern science disproven the belief in God? And I just thank God for people like him because he really helps people like us who have doubts and questions to work through them. So I just want to encourage you and even make ourselves available, maybe to talk with you and your dad and another time more on a personal level about these issues, about what your questions are and about how you're dealing with them. But I think you're beating yourself up, and I'm not sure that's really appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Super answer. I remember your dad called in maybe about a month ago, Jenna. I mean, the man loves you immensely. And as I listen to Professor talk, that would be such a good thing for you guys to do and get together and take advantage of the men that's in your life and the people that's in your life who loves you and know the struggles that you will be dealing with.
Yeah, and there were, you know, I studied like with Nelson Pike. Nelson Pike, if you look him up, he's one of the top philosophers of religion in the world at the time. He's passed on now. But I mean, incredibly bright. And, you know, he had some and I took a number of his classes at UCI, and it was incredibly challenging. I really got challenged by his views over at Claremont, a guy named D.Z. Phillips, who believed in God, he says, but I mean, he had no use for conservative Christianity. And those people, I thank them in the long run because they challenged me to think through my faith at a deeper level. And I feel I'm the better person for it. Again, yeah, doubt can be destructive, especially if we just give into it. But well, you know, God knows that we're thinking beings as well as feeling and otherwise our feelings. We're thinking individuals. We're going to have questions, and it's healthy and good. And to be whole, we need to work through them and not suppress them, not ignore them, but allow them to come to the surface and deal with them. And I got to tell you, I'm not claiming I know everything. Obviously, I don't, but I have a satisfied mind. And I say this, and I honestly mean it, I believe I'd have to commit intellectual suicide to not believe in God. Mm. To renounce Christianity, I would have to renounce my education and all my experience, all my years of studying and teaching logic, for example, and argumentation. I'm not a Christian just because mommy and daddy told me, or because I just have blind faith and I believe and nanner, I won't listen. I put my fingers in my ears at anybody who gives me an argument against the Bible or Christianity. I would argue I've heard about as many arguments as possible. I've probably got more books against Christianity than I do for it, literally, in my personal library. But that's done nothing but make me a stronger believer. Yes. Because my faith is founded, as John Warwick Montgomery says, on fact. My faith is founded on fact. Yeah, it's an appropriation. It's a commitment. It's a confidence, conviction, commitment, according to the Greek words and the Hebrew usage of them as well. But it's based upon truth. And so as we go through those fires, we can become strong. And yeah, sometimes I believe it is demonic. Sometimes it is just flat out. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Some of my arguments really were moral issues. I'll be blunt. In college, Christianity was cramping my lifestyle. It told me to be nice to people I'd like to punch in the face and or at least minimally ignore them. And God's telling me to be nice to them. So I had some ethical, emotional issues that, ironically, at the time, they were guised as philosophical, intellectual issues. But the truth be known, they were more emotional and ethical issues. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I'll never forget, I had a student one time, and I gave his name. A lot of people in the audience would know him. He's very well known, particularly in Southern California. And he had gone off the deep end. And before that, he'd studied apologetics and even taught apologetics. And he'd renounced, basically at that time, at least pretty much Christianity, at least at that time. And when we talked about it, basically what it came down to, and he was honest with me, he says, I want to sleep with my girlfriend. I want to do what I want to do. And I said, I don't agree with you, and you know, and I believe you know it's wrong from the Christian perspective, but I at least appreciate your honesty. Instead of giving me the smoke and mirrors and the intellectual arguments, which you and I know is garbage, because been there, done that. Don't play that game with me, homie. I know the score on that one. It was what he wanted to live an immoral, what I would call an immoral life. And I at least thanked him for being honest. I said, you know, I think you're selling your soul for a mess of pottage. And so I think we just need to face our fears, face our doubts, and trust God to see us through and fully engage your mind. We don't get through this by renouncing our education or our mind to the IQ of below 100 or renouncing our education to the third grade, but we embrace what God has used in our lives, and we see at the end of the day that it's faith founded upon fact and that these doubts can help us be even stronger Christians to go the full yard, to finish the race and strongly at that. But it would be good to talk more on a personal level with you and your dad. That would be awesome. I would look forward to doing that.
Jenna, yes,
definitely.
That's good. So if you want to, I don't know if Craig has your number or anything like that, but if you want me to put you on hold, I can. You can pass that information over to Eric, and he can get it to Craig, okay?
Yes, that'll be good.
All right, I'll put you on hold.
And it would be good, thanks. We're so glad you called. It'd be good to talk specific. So what are your questions? What are your doubts? And then attempt to look at them in light of the truth.
All righty.
Yes.
Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you guys so much. Right. Thank you so much, Craig and UCT.
All right. We'll put you on hold, okay, Ann?
All right.
All right. PCH, I need to make a very minor but yet profound correction, or just an addition to what you had said. When you said what you find immoral about the guy who wanted to just live with his girlfriend and, you know, do his thing, you call it immoral, but I think more so God calls it immoral. And that puts an exponent on it, whether we call it that way or not. It's what God called it immoral, because it is. based upon what God says. And we can, you know, like some of the things, like one of the things, I'm just going to ask you this, PCH, one of the things I'm going to ask God about is how come my prayers got to be hindered if I don't live with my wife in an understanding way, and her prayers are not hindered if she don't live me with an understanding way, and that's my issue. But you know what I'm saying? And like, we all have our issues to deal with, and we all have our questions the Lord want to ask. But that particular area, man, a lot of people are in that same boat that you just described your friend as, man. And I appreciate you being straight with them. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, actually, let's pray for Jenna, by the way, and others who are in the same boat that she's in.
Please
do. I'm going to be gone for, you know, of course, 2 weeks mm-hmm. in Asia, but I'll be back and before I leave again, and would love to dialogue. But we do pray for Jenna and pray
yes,
the best for her and her dad as well, and the struggles they're going through and the personal issues that have impacted their life. See them through this, and I would ask and pray and believe that she'll be stronger than ever, but she can be honest with these doubts and face them mm-hmm. and fully give full vent to them in one sense, and yet be healthy and whole through that, because you gave us a mind. Our intellect is from you to begin with, and you know where the knowledge of ignorance is a virtue or something to be admired, but to use our minds and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the greatest command is your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself said, Father, of course. So pray for Jenna, her dad, and others who are in a similar situation. We pray your best for them, and they would receive the answers and the insights and the things they need, and they come from you, even though you often do that through people. And we say thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, it just makes me think about the guy that was crying out to Jesus about, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me, dear. PCA, before we get to your call and anybody else that's calling in at 888-995-5552, PCH, we only have about like 16 minutes left, and I want to give the people an opportunity to participate in the giving, especially during the time right now where monies can be used. And if you have the Lord's money, please consider these designations, and I'll tell you how you can actually execute that designation when PCH give you the alphabet soup.
Love to do that, Daryl. And I want to briefly come back to a conversation I had with a young man named Calvin flying to Hong Kong.
Okay, cool.
But it kind of relates to Jenna, but what we were talking about earlier. But, yeah, we are a faith-supported broadcast, or we covet people's prayers, and we use the word covet and on purpose when it comes to your prayers. We need God's grace, his favor, edge protection, and ministry effectiveness going, for example, to Cambodia, dealing with human trafficking and human rights issues and all the garbage that goes on over there, and girls as young as 5 sold into sex slavery by their parents, not by some pimp per se or lover boy in quotes, but it's often by their parents. So we can talk about that another time. We do ask for your help with just the overhead of the ministry, the Bible Information Brokers, your overhead radio expenses, website, webmaster, those type of basic expenses. No salary expenses, no building expenses. We don't have any of those. So we can maximize your funds that go right to what we say they go to use them for the purposes you've designated. Also, the Faithful Friend Fund, where we pay the insurance premiums for the widow of our dear brother, Brian Allen, who went to be with the Lord last September. And so you can designate all or part of your funds towards that, any way you want to, all or nothing of your funds towards any one of these three or some combination thereof. But also the training of trainers coming up this month and June and July, going to India, Nepal, and other countries, training pastors, missionaries, and Christian leaders, equipping them to make them. Some of them have a background, for example, in Hinduism, but they don't understand Buddhism or vice versa or what have you. Some of them have never had a chance to go to seminary, yet many of them have risked their lives, and some of them have spent time in jail for the gospel. Many of them going to parts of Nepal and India and Burma and Bangladesh and Bhutan and other places who've never heard the gospel. If that sounds something you're interested in, then won't you stand with us prayerfully and financially? Because that's what we're doing. No hype, sheer cold reality of what we're doing, the privilege God has given us, the people we work with, our colleagues, and we feel so privileged, but we need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially so that we can pay for the travel expenses, we pay for the food, the lodging, all the training. We pay for all of that. We don't charge anything for the training of these Christian leaders, pastors, missionaries, counselors, school teachers, principals, what have you. If that sounds like something you're interested in, well, Daryl's going to tell you how you can do just that. Daryl?
I appreciate that, PCH. And you can get 100% of your money if you do it this way. Write a check, get a money order, cashier's check, or contact your bank by online method, or call them and say, hey, I want to make an ongoing gift or a one-time gift to Bible Information Brokers, but here's how you do it. You must write the check and the envelope out to Living by the Word. It'll get to Bible Information Brokers, put on their FFF, BIB, or TOT, and you already heard the designations. But 100% of that money, we get it without any fees. That's what I'm dealing with right there. So the checks, the envelope and everything must be written out to Living by the Word, or LBTW, Living by the Word, and mail it to P.O. Box 90477. And that's in Los Angeles, 90009. Once again, any information you're going to send in to our post box office must have this designation of Living by the Word or LBTW. Then put in your designation on the check or the money order, and it gets to the, you know, Craig already talked about that. But P.O. Box 90477, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Every other format, go to our website. You will see it right there. One paragraph, tell you how to support and donate by clicking that icon on Bible Info Brokers, the website, Bible Info Brokers. Click the support and donate icon. It spells it out right there. And govern yourself as the Lord moves you, as you prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. We thank you 10,000 times in advance. God bless you. And don't forget to pray for this ministry. As Craig said, we covet your prayers. God bless you for that. Ted, hang in there. We're going to take Russell's call. We only have about 10 minutes left on the broadcast, PCH. So let's see if we can get these questions asked and answered. Russell in the city of Los Angeles, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Sure.
And what's your question for the night, Mr. Russell?
Okay, well, I was listening to a broadcast, and it brought to mind several things that I've heard people talk about grace.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's maybe the confusion on my part that I don't understand the roles of our triune God, but this particular ministry was talking about the power of grace. Well, if I understand grace, it is a gift that God gives, and we you know, but it was talking about the power of grace changing our life, and to me, I thought that was the role of the Holy Spirit, and that He works with us and directs us and encourages us.
Yes.
and of course we have to have that natural connection through the gospel and through the blood of Christ. But I would like to have Craig talk a little bit about grace and maybe clarify whether I'm confused or whether they are, or whether it's just a metaphor overused, because that was the total context of what they were talking. Like, this was our change in Christ, or in the likeness of Christ, was done, through this power. And they kept talking about the power of grace.
From the power of prayer, Craig, to the power of grace. PCH, what say you?
Yeah.
Well, Russell, I'm more with you on this. There's no power in grace, and there's no power in prayer. God uses prayer, but it's not because it has power. And grace doesn't have power like it's some type of force. The graciousness of God, He is gracious, but it's God, and it's His power. And you said it, it's the Holy Spirit. You want to talk power, then talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul, very clearly, for example, in Colossians 1 and 2, Daryl actually mentioned Colossians earlier, Paul talks about the power of the living God in us, and he was referring to the Holy Spirit, who energizes us to obey God, to be transformed, to be changed, to serve God effectively. And so, I don't like talking these nebulous things like the power of grace. And grace is the kindness, the benevolence of God, the thoughtfulness of God. It is how He works in our lives. It pronounced either hottus or keras, where we use what's called a classical or more contemporary pronunciation of the word, hottus or keras, but same thing. It is the kindness of God, the graciousness of God, the, a form of mercy, if you will, which is manifest kindness. So, yeah, I really, you won't hear me be talking about the power of grace. I mean, if you mean it metaphorically, I kind of get it, but to me, it's not the way to talk. I'm going to talk about the power of God, and graciousness is one of his attitudes of how he treats us, and that does work transformatively in my life. Well, so I think I'm more with you on this.
Heard enough people to use it. It just was kind of tweaking my understanding and saying, hey, maybe I really am not understanding my triune God and the roles that each of them have. And it was bothering me enough that I said, I think I better call in.
Hey, Russell,
well,
go ahead, Greg.
I think you were rightly provoked and this bothered you. And I have an outline actually on this, and I'd be happy to make that available. But I'm with you on this one.
That.
I think that they're misusing the term and misapplying it.
I'm not a pastor or anything, but I do counseling to some people, and I think it would be helpful for me to be able to have a nice background in the area that I could, be stronger in, so that I don't have any doubts in my mind.
Yeah, hey, Russell, you can send us an email. Send us.
You've confirmed my belief, so
right.
I'm not concerned terribly on myself, but. But I like to be able to be solid if I'm talking and trying to help somebody else.
Okay, Russell, you can send us an email if you go to our website and just say exactly what you're talking about and what you want, and we get that information over to you. But I'm going to say this before you leave, because we're going to take the other calls.
What does Craig call what he's going to send or what's
that? Yeah, what we're going to send you, say that. We're going to send you the outline on grace. And Craig, I know what we're
outline.
Talking about.
Okay.
Well, let me say this to you before you leave. I don't care what you and Craig said. I was definitely under the power of grace, because my mama was 4'11" and she could throw a shoe anytime we got out of line. I was definitely under that. And I don't know about you guys, but I was. So there you go.
Okay.
My mama's name was Grace. In other words, Russell. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your phone call.
Yeah, I need to be able, when I talk to somebody like you, I need to be able to give a good comeback.
There you go. That'd be a good one. My mama named me Grace, but I tell you what, that wasn't the kind of grace the Bible talks about. My mama name was Grace, but that wasn't the type of grace the Bible was talking about. All right, brother, send us that email, okay? Appreciate you, man.
Sure.
All right, God bless.
All right, thank you.
Last caller, Craig. Let's talk to Ted in the City of Angels. I guess that's Los Angeles. Ted, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Amen. How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing well, brother. We only have about 3 minutes left to deal with your questions, so let's get into it.
Well, let's get straight to it. The topic is Dr. Phil, who was raised in the Deep South in Christianity and has come to L.A. and has basically, feeding people like narcissism, which I believe is just a worldly term for there's no way out. It's only you are the problem when Christianity says we're born sinners. So I think it's just a cop-out. And 15 years ago, I listened to him, and he was trying to help a lady that had a daughter that was involved in a homosexual relationship, and she tried every which way to get around it because she was raised in the church to get help from him. And he basically said, to let her be who she is, do you want her to be happy?
Ooh.
And I never watched the man again.
Well, why are you calling about him now if you haven't watched him again? How long ago was that?
That was 15 years ago.
Well, why are you calling now about Dr. Phil if you haven't watched him in 15 years?
The reason why I'm saying is because I just seen him.
Oh, okay, there you go. I'm just messing with you. Craig, we only got about a minute.
Well, I... go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just messing with you, Ted. 1 minute, PCH.
Well, I'm with Ted. I mean, that's what it's all about. Used to be counseling, you'd go there and they would help you change the way you should be. Now it's, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? Let me help you accept that, no matter how twisted or messed up it is. And that's our idea. And so I would argue more than happiness, it's holiness. But even the irony is, even you're not really ultimately going to make people happy. It's the same thing with the whole transgender movement, people having reassignment surgeries or whatever term you want to use for that. They still end up being suicidal, and it's horrific. And so when we compromise on what the Word of God says, even in the name of happiness, people actually ironically don't end up happy. They end up miserable because there's only pleasure in sin for a season. And after that season is over with, it's payday.
And we're talking about over, yep. Ted. Unfortunately, I'm not happy because Thank this you, broadcast brother. Is over. So, Craig, Ted, love give us a call back soon, okay, brother?
I love you guys.
Love you too, man. Appreciate you. PCH, I am sad, man, because, you know, when we get good questions like that towards the end, we had a whole lot of time beginning when we dealt with some empty lines. So, folks, remember this. Remember this broadcast. I'm going to mention it in the future. PCH, you have 1 minute. Give me a closing thought.
1 minute? Wow, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Hey, I just want to appreciate people's prayers, cover your prayers, going over with some students over into Cambodia dealing with human trafficking, and in particular the government's response or lack of, but particularly Christian ministries and helping them and letting our people who are future attorneys, Christian attorneys, making a difference in the world regarding sex slavery. And so really covet your prayers. And God will work powerfully over there, and we'll see his work. And in the light of some really bad stuff that goes on, a lot of Americans go over to do things they shouldn't be doing. So appreciate your prayers, and pray the best for you guys while I'm gone. I know whether you have Rob on or not, you're going to have a great time, and I hope you guys enjoy just that.
Really appreciate that, PCH. And listen, listening audience, when I say team, all of you guys who listen to this broadcast, whether you're a believer or not, you're a part of the team. Believe it or not, the God that created us all is going to use us all for his glory. You're talking about narcissism. Call it what you want if you want to be that silly. But just know that if you were a creator and you created something to do what it's supposed to do and it doesn't do it, what would you do with it? Well, that's why he did what he did through the person of Jesus Christ, because we messed up in the garden. We'll talk more about that as you hear the music playing in the background, if the Lord's willing. Well, on behalf of the whole team, Craig, safe trip. Eric, Ozzy, as usual, thank you very much. My name is Darryl Izzy D. Fulton. I am Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying if the Lord's willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers and you, the listening audience team.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.